Are all batteries the same? That's like asking if all soccer players are the same. Take Messi, the most decorated player ever. Is there any other player who has achieved that? No, just him. Now take Duracell. Is there any other battery with power-boost ingredients inside? No, just Duracell. Remember, goats only trust goats because they're built different. And Messi only trusts Duracell.
MLB.tv on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy, all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.tv in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required, blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hola.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Thank goodness I have this job, because I sure can't play golf.
You hit that guy!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Apple TV lead MLS analyst Taylor Twellman, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler. Coming up, 10-year NFL head coach Jason Garrett. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got ourselves a fun show already in the books. First 2 hours, Taylor Twellman talking World Cup. We're less than an hour away from France and Spain performing for the entire globe for the right to make the World Cup final on Sunday in the New York, New Jersey stadium. They're in the Dallas Stadium today. Or, do they call it the Arlington Stadium? What do we call it? Is it Dallas? Arlington. They're going to just call it Dallas.
We'll just call it Jerry's house.
From Arlington.
They call it Jerry's house.
Oh, the Jerry. Well, they got the curtain up, I'm sure. Uh-huh. Jerry's like, put up the curtain for the Spaniards and the French, yeah. But for the Cowboys and the, you know, and
for Thanksgiving, Dak, just leave the curtain.
Yeah, let them just stare into the sun. What do we care?
Blind.
At any rate, that's going down right now. And hour two, Jeremy Fowler joined us to talk about the list he's compiled from executives and coaches and scouts about the best quarterbacks in the league. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation. We've got a good old-fashioned Chris Brockman news update.
Yeah, buddy.
Joining us right now in advance of the launch of his new leadership podcast series, Coach to Coach, which will debut with episodes dropping on Wednesday with the Super Bowl champion and Hall of Fame head coach Tony Dungy. And then one of our favorites, episode two, Corey Close of nice. UCLA basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Garrett on the program. How are you, Jason? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, Rich. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And just so you understand, you know, I love you. So we're applauding because we do that for all guests. It's not just, you know, just us clapping, you know, with you, Jason. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Nonetheless,
were you aware of that whole clapping thing while you were coaching and people talking about always seeing you clapping on the sideline, Jason? Were you aware of that?
Somebody made me aware of that. Yeah.
Okay. Is that just part of your DNA? Has that always been part of what you're always used to do on the sideline there, Jason?
Well, you know, enthusiasm is the oxygen of the soul, and I think that's an important part of coaching. Some of the best coaches I've ever been around. We used to always do an imitation of Jimmy Johnson clapping.
So you got it. So Jimmy was a clapper too?
I didn't know. Yeah. He used to have this great clapper. He'd clap way out in front of his hands like this, but you know, I think that's a big part of playing. You know, we're doing this leadership podcast, yep. And one of the things we talk about a lot is the energy of the leader pervades the group. So, you know, if you're positive with players when good things happen and when you're positive with them, you know, when bad things happen, to help them get through it, you know, I think those are good things to allow them to play well.
Is there a through line? Because, again, future episodes with Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Dan Campbell, Joe Madden of the Cubs, Joe Girardi as well, just to name a handful of them. A through line. Was there a general sense that you picked up, a consensus about coaching, managing, Jason, at all?
Oh, I think there are so many things that I've learned from this experience. And, you know, the big takeaway for me is how generous these guys are. They're obviously the best at what they do. So many of them have won Super Bowls or World Series, won championships. And, you know, at the core of them, they're just coaches. They want to help players get better. They want to build teams that they're all proud to be a part of. And for me, that's what I always thought about when I was coaching. So they were really fun conversations to have. I think the big takeaway for me is each of these guys is their own person, each of these men and women. And they were influenced by so many people coming up. You know, great coaches, great players, great teams that they've been around, but at the end of it, they bring who they are to the table, and there's an authenticity to them, and you know, there's a humility to them. We talk a lot about some of the challenging times they had and what they learned from those experiences, and they share those stories. And you know, one of the things that I've learned in TV is that people just don't want to hear platitudes. As the great Fred Gaudelli said, enough of the platitudes. So, you know, people want stories and they want points to the story. And when I coached, I used to always tell our players stories. And then, you know, hopefully they remember them. And then, okay, why am I telling you this? And that's a big part of what these shows have been, is these coaches taking us through different experiences they've had, different influences they've had, and sharing those things with us. And then, hey, what did I learn from that? What was the lesson learned from that experience, good, bad, or indifferent? So, you know, we do these. They're about an hour long. And I tell every one of them, I could go for 3, 4, 5 hours with them because I learned so much.
Yeah, a coach2coachpodcast.com to check out. Again, Coach to Coach or wherever you get your podcast. Jason Garrett here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just said seconds ago that you used to tell stories to players to try and, you know, I guess, coach them up or give them perspective. What story did you tell Dak Prescott in 2016 when suddenly he was thrust to the fore of everything for your team, Jason?
Well, you know, I probably learned as much from him that he learned from us. And I'll tell you that story. You know, he came in, we drafted him in the fourth round, and my thought when we drafted him was, hey, this guy can be the next quarterback of the Cowboys. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But my biggest concern was the initial transition, because he had been a gun quarterback, a lot of quarterback runs at Mississippi State. He showed us all the things that you wanted, both as a player and as a person. But I felt like there was going to be some time for him to transition into what we're doing, because we were under center as well as in the gun. And we did some different things that he hadn't done in school. And then, you know, Kellen Moore gets hurt, then Tony Romo gets hurt. He gets thrust into it. And we lose the first game, and then we win 11 in a row. And, you know, probably 8 weeks into that stretch, I remember asking him, I said, Dak, how are you doing this? How are you getting these guys to play for you? Because the guys on our team absolutely loved playing for him. And it was obvious that they were playing for him. And I said, I never see you make any speech or anything like that. You're never like hollering at guys or whatever things that you anticipate leaders to do. And he said, no, coach, I can't do that. You know, the biggest thing I've tried to do is develop relationships with the guys. And it's easier on the offensive side of the ball, more difficult on the defensive side of the ball. But he would play chess with some of the defensive guys. And I can remember at least a few times we'd be in a staff meeting on the second floor of the building, and there'd be some racket coming from the locker room 3 or 4 hours after practice. And I'd go down there like, what the hell's going on in here? Mm-hmm. And there were 15, 20 guys in the locker room playing hamper basketball with this giant tennis ball. You bounce it, and then it lands into the hamper. And Prescott was the guy kind of engineering the whole thing. And, you know, his big thing was, I have to develop relationships with these guys. I have to take time with them. And once you develop that relationship, that's when they want to play for you. And to me, that was a great lesson that I learned from a rookie quarterback.
No kidding. That's a great story, Jason. That's for sure. And not to bring up any bad memories, but I've always been curious, What did the officials tell you on the sideline after Dez Bryant caught it but then didn't in that playoff game prior to Dak's time? Obviously, Romo threw that one, and your decision to go for it and the whole thing, Jason.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me. Dean Blandino obviously was the guy back in the booth at the time, and Gene Steratore was the game official. And as you remember, it was called a catch on the field. And, there was always a question of, okay, how long does someone have to possess the ball in order for it to be a catch? And if I heard the official say it once, I literally heard him say it 1,000 times. You know, it was time enough to make a football move. Time enough to make a football move. And then they'd be very clear with you. They say they don't even have to make a football move. It's just they just need time enough to make a football move. And so that was ringing in my head as I saw Dez Bryant catch this ball on about the 6-yard line in the air and switch the ball and get 1, 2, 3 down, take the ball here, lunge and extend it to the goal line. And then the ball comes out. And I reminded them of that. I said, time enough to make a football move. The guy made 8 of them on his way down. It was one of the greatest catches and one of the big moments that I've ever been around. And it was such a great play. And again, it was called a catch on the field. And for them to come back and overturn it, you know, clear and obvious, I think was the standard at the time. And for them to say it was clear and obvious that this was not a catch and to proactively overturn it, it was hard for me to understand. So I was trying to make all these points to Gene about time enough to make a football move. Look at all the moves he made, all of that. It was called a catch on the field. There's no clear and obvious to overturn this. And sure enough, they did. And, you know, I think it came from the precedent of the Calvin Johnson play.
That's right.
And they had boxed themselves into a corner about going to the ground and all of that. But he literally had it for like 5.5 yards and did 8 different things with the football before he hit the ground. And then, as you remember, you know, they tried to justify the decision for at least 3 or 4 years afterwards. And the whole definition of a catch just became a real mess until they finally reestablished what the rule was. Officials to this day deny that it was a catch, but I'll go to my grave saying it. And the one big regret that I have about that whole situation was after the game, I was asked the question, and, you know, we always talked about no excuses, no explanations, and you just take full responsibility. And I said, hey, you know, that was one play in a game. We had 56 minutes before and 4 minutes after, and we didn't get the job done. And my regret, I don't regret saying that and sharing that, but my regret was not recognizing the throw that Tony Romo made and the catch that Dez Bryant made, because I thought those plays were it was one for the ages. It was reminiscent of Bradshaw to Lynn Swann over Mark Washington. It was that kind of a catch. Mm-hmm. And I didn't fully recognize that and let the world know how I felt about the play they made.
Did Jerry make a bunch of calls to the league office in the aftermath? Anything like that?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, once it's over, it's over. I mean,
although my Dallas Cowboy friend and fan and colleague in the corner has been shaking his head this entire time.
Coach, I mean, I'm having PTSD now just thinking about that.
I don't know.
I'm hoping you agree with what I'm saying.
Every single word, Coach. Every single word. Dez caught it, and if I live 1,000 years for 1,000 years, I'm this. Go to my grave and say the ball was caught, and it could have changed everything for the Cowboys. You know, it just stinks.
It was a remarkable play that he made, and Tony made a great throw. Like you said, it was a 4th down, and he saw the 1-on-1 outside, and you know, gave that guy an opportunity. Nobody goes and gets the ball like Dez Bryant, so. It's a shame.
He outgrown manned another grown man.
Well, I mean, I think it is. I think it is fitting, Jason, though, that you mentioned Calvin Johnson here, because listen, I know we're talking first ballot Hall of Famer, the whole 9 yards with him, but I just think that the league did not account in the catch rule for somebody so physically talented that you could gain an amount of yards for a first down, 10 yards, in the process of grabbing it and then going to the goal line. Like he was such a physical freak. And there's now so many others in the league right now who can do something like that, that I just don't know if the league accounted for that sort of special ability making a play like Dez had in the catch rule interpretation.
Yeah, no doubt. And just go back and look at it. Look at it in full speed. Look at it in slow motion. However you look at it, it's like, damn, what a play that he made.
Right.
And, you know, he was that kind of an athlete, like you said. And not only was he so gifted physically, he was an instinctive football player. And I think what he did, changing the ball and doing all the different things he did on that play, it showed his greatness. And unfortunately, the ball wobbled at the end. But the other part of this thing, and I mentioned it earlier, that is still hard for me to understand is just the idea that it was called a catch on the field. And for them to be so aggressive in overturning it, it certainly wasn't clear and obvious, and it's not clear and obvious to this day.
Well, I guess, you know, you and Charles Woodson will have something in common in the fact that you'll never be shaken from your belief about a play. Like Charles will always say that was a fumble on the sack of Tom Brady. You know, the tuck rule and Dez caught it are just part of, you know, NFL lexicons. And I appreciate you being so open to talk about it here.
Yeah.
What do you make of the
I agree with, Charles, by the way, Rich.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, and Patriots fans would push back. That's why they call that the snow game, not the tuck rule game, like the rest of everybody else on planet Earth. There's my Patriot fan on camera. All right. What do you make of the Cowboys this year? Because I really like the changes they've made on defense. And the offense comes back intact, and Dak appears to have a chip. I do like, you know, listen, when Brian Schottenheimer took over, everybody kind of thought Jerry has a guy that he can steamroll and push around a little bit, and he's proven he's his own man. I kind of really like what's going on in Dallas, Jason. That's not to influence the jury here, but what do you think going into this season?
Oh, I think there's so many positive things about it. You know, I think last year was challenging for them for a lot of different reasons. You know, the cloud of Micah Parsons hanging over that team for so long, I don't think gave them a chance to have the defense they wanted. And, you know, I still think it's a real discussion as to whether or not they should have let that guy out of the building. You know, and for so many years, we talked about, okay, how do you build a championship team? You got to get the quarterback first. But then what you talk about next is the elite pass rusher. And how do you get that guy? How do you get the guy that affects the quarterback? And when you have one in the building who's so disruptive like Michael was, it's hard for me to think that your team's getting better by letting him go. But, you know, they certainly got some things for him, the two first round picks and Kenny Clark, and they're building around that. And I think they've made a lot of good decisions on defense to solidify Quinnen Williams, you know, Kenny Clark, the draft this year. I mean, I think they've solidified the defense more than it's been in the last few years. I do think you have to objectively analyze what happened last year. You know, they won 7 out of 17 games, and many of those wins came against teams that weren't very good. You know, they beat the Commanders a couple times. They beat the Giants, the Jets, the Raiders. They beat the Chiefs in a down year. The one signature win was Philadelphia, so that was a good win for them. But they lost to Arizona. They lost a number of games, I think 5 or 6 by double digits. So for me, it starts with competing the right way. That's a mantra they have around there right now. And I think they have to live that out. And I know the guy at the quarterback position will live that out because, like we talked earlier, he's a special, special guy. But I do think they've made some decisions to solidify the defense. I think they'll be better on that side of the ball. And hopefully the offense continues. You know, there's a lot of firepower over there, not only at the skill position, but they have 3 first-round picks on that offensive line, an elite quarterback, a runner who's revitalized his career, and the receivers outside are excellent. So important for them to get off to a good start and get going, and then hopefully play the way that they want to play. You know, compete every day. They got to compete on Sundays for 3 hours. I think that's going to be the biggest thing I'm looking for.
And what is last thing for you again, Jason Garrett? And I'd love to chat with you in August as well, prior to the season and prior to you going on Football Night in America on NBC. Is Sean McVay's challenge? Listen, what Nick Saban calls rat poison and things like what I would do. And now you're part of the media would say 17-0 is what people are already talking about with Myles Garrett now on this team that returns everyone from an NFC championship game season short of the Super Bowl that they could have made. And Aaron Donald could be in the ether too, Jason. What is Sean McVay's challenge, do you think?
Well, I worked for Nick Saban for 2 years, and I heard a lot of those rat poison speeches.
nice.
Yeah. You know, I think Sean's challenge is probably similar to challenges that we had in the 90s, you know, with the Cowboys Super Bowl team. There's a lot of noise around the team. And you know, typically when people talk about noise, it's negative. But you know, that positive noise is a challenge as well. And when you've won a Super Bowl or won a couple of them, there's all of that stuff that you have to contend with. But you know, I would go back to just the program that Sean has built out there. Obviously a fantastic coach and a fantastic leader. And I think he understands and has his team understanding the importance of what Nick Saban would call process. You know, get the right people together and do things the right way each and every day and focus on that, and the results will come. And so I think lock in on that, double down on that. I do think the guys he has on his team are the right kind of guys who will do anything they can to win. And when they're focused on that rather than individual accolades, I think you have a chance. And it's certainly a talented team. He's a fantastic coach. It's an amazing program. I think the biggest thing you do is you focus on yourself. I'm going to give you all the coach speak, but this is what you got to do. Focus on yourself and focus on each day. And there's going to be a lot of noise over the course of 5 or 6 months and 17 games. When they win, it won't be they won by enough. And when they lose, the sky will be falling. But you just fight through all that stuff. You eliminate that noise. You focus on yourselves and what you need to do each day. And I think Sean has built a program based on those things. No doubt they'll continue to do it.
Well, I look forward to seeing Nick Saban on your pod, Jason.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll get that done.
There you go.
Coach Saban. It might be a special two-hour pod.
There you go. There you go. Coach to Coach Podcast. Get it where you get your podcast. Go to coach2coachpodcast.com. Jason, a delight. Thanks for having the time and taking the time to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, always enjoyed being with you, Rich. Keep it up, man.
Right back at you. That's Jason Garrett right here. Check him out on the NBC as well.
Dez caught it.
Hey, man.
Always and forever.
Isn't it amazing?
I just watched that play like 20 times.
Blandino back in New York and Sterator on the field, and they're both rules analysts right now for Fox and CBS respectively. And I just remember watching it. I'm like, okay, he's going to go for it here. And oh my God,
they're going to
really go for it.
Fourth and two.
And
two, like, right.
And the cojones to roll those dice.
Amazing throw by Tony. Throw. Yeah.
And Dez caught it. Like, I just remember.
Yeah, he caught it.
We were on the, this is 2015, so we were on the air here. This show existed.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, we just don't see receivers who can catch the ball at the 10. Take three steps and reach for the end zone.
Yeah.
And that's considered, considered the process.
Right.
Like that's not a process.
Right.
That's, as he said, made 8 football moves. Reminds me of the line when you said here that it was holding on the Giants that Eli Manning threw the ball for the helmet catch. Yeah. And his response was like,
they didn't block
holding. Anybody. They didn't block anybody. And he's like, process. He had 8 football moves. And he kind of did, you know.
Oh, go watch the play. I mean, I can post it on
our
Twitter.
I've watched it more than I've watched anything in my life.
Like I said, I just watched it a dozen times. It's unbelievable. The athleticism, first off, unbelievable throw by Tony.
Yeah.
The athleticism by Dez to go up there, jump over the defender, come down with it.
Holding the ball.
Then stretch out for the goal line. He was at like the foot.
That's when it came.
He was at like the foot line. And it popped out, but then it falls in his lap while he's in the end zone. Like it was unbelievable.
Like I said, he outgrown manned another grown man.
Yeah.
You know,
Dez Bryant was a beast.
And that started a years long process to get the language right. Yeah. That again,
it didn't do anything for us.
The whole idea of like, if there's 100 people in a bar and 100 people think it's a catch, it should be a catch.
Yeah.
Much like Family Feud.
What a sliding door moment, too, for the kid.
You know what I most remember about that day is my goddaughter was about 5 months old, and I was holding her, and she had just gone to sleep on my shoulder.
Oh, as the play happened?
And I couldn't – I stood there, like, holding. I didn't want to wake her up because she had just gone to sleep.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just stood there, like, I will never, ever, ever forget that.
I'm pretty sure I watched that at a bar with Del Tufo.
My goodness. Thank goodness you didn't drop it.
Oh, I could definitely not. Definitely not.
When you run a small business, you don't just do the job. You're also the hiring manager, the payroll department, and the benefits team, usually all before lunch. Gusto takes a few of those off your plate quickly and seamlessly. Gusto is an online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, support your team from anywhere. Unlimited payrolls runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. You could save time with built-in automated tools, offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. It's quick and simple to switch to Gusto. Just transfer your existing data to get up and running fast. Plus, you don't pay a cent until you run your first payroll. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich, and you get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. A news update from Chris Brockman that you don't want to miss coming up next. Rich Eisen here for Gusto. After all these years talking to athletes, coaches, entertainers, and people at the top of what they do, one thing is pretty clear. Success usually depends on getting the details right. For small business owners, that includes payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, you know, the work that keeps everything moving, even if it's not the reason you started the business in the first place. That's why there's Gusto. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich. Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay. Save $2 when you buy two cans of Superior Products Coverall Tire Dressing. Plus, receive 4x O rewards points now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Coverall delivers long-lasting shine. Visit your O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen Show. Hire right the first time with LinkedIn Hiring Pro. People, get started by posting a job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go. Ross in New Jersey has been hanging on for quite a while. What's up, Ross? How are you?
What's going on, Rich? Going on, fellas?
What up, man?
What's up, Ross Tucker? Is
that what it is? We're going to see if I could do a win-loss game real quick.
Okay, it's been a while.
For the Giants?
It's been a while.
The G-Men?
Minnesota Vikings.
Whoa.
Hey.
Hold on. Hold on a second. Because it sounds like you're from New Jersey. You don't sound like you're from Minnesota.
It sounds like
you're from Jersey.
I'm from New Jersey. Remember I called up last time, Route 4, River Edge? We talked about Bergen County.
Okay, got you now. Okay, so how does somebody from Bergen County, New Jersey, root for the Minnesota Vikings? What the heck?
So I didn't want to go local. Actually, growing up mid-2010s, I mean, you had the whole OBJ was kind of, you know, the off-the-field issues. All the one-handed catch was kind of, okay. You know, the drama off the field. The Jets, Rich, you don't need me to tell you. I feel like I kind of dodged a bullet there. And I didn't want to, you know, you got to remember, it's kind of funny now, 10 years later, it's like we're partying like it's 2015. Patriots, Seahawks, and the Broncos were the gold standard.
Okay.
That's now how, you know, how things change. They stay the same 10 years later. They kind of feel like the top three at the moment. Throw the Rams in there, too. But I didn't want to be towards the bottom either, so I said, let me throw a dart at the map. Let me pick a quote-unquote mediocre team. And, Rich, I picked a team that feels like goes either 14-3 or 8-8 every single year.
Okay.
The only team that wins 14 games and does and loses a wild card game. But
okay, and then just to bring it all full circle, they gave up Sam Darnold, and then he wins the Super Bowl, just like the Jets. Listen,
yeah,
Ross in New Jersey wants to play – the win-loss game for the Minnesota Vikings. Let's go. Let's put it up there. Here we go. What happens when the Packers pay a visit week one?
I think we always play Green Bay good at home. I give us a dub to start the year.
All right, now you're at Chicago week two.
I think that's a loss.
Week three at Tampa.
Starting off the season 1-2.
Home for the Dolphins.
I think we get back into gear, back to 2-2.
At the Saints.
It's another win.
We got a win streak. Home for the Colts.
I think this is a game you called. I don't think it's going to be another 30-point comeback, but I think we take care of Indy as well.
No, I didn't call that. I was waiting to call Browns and the Ravens that had no touchdowns in it. So there we have it. But who's counting? You're 4-2 now at the Lions.
I mean, if Max Brosberg could do it last year with the Lions' playoff hopes on the line, I think Kyler could do it this year too. 5-2.
5-2. Home for the Bills on a Monday night.
I think we take that one as well.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, we're 6-2 at the Packers.
I think we split with Green Bay. I think that's a loss.
6-3. Now you're in Mexico City against the Niners.
Oh, man. I think it's going to be a two-minute drill. I think San Francisco takes it.
All right, 6-4 now. Home for the Falcons.
That's a W.
7-4, home for the Panthers.
Back-to-back W.
8-4, short week visit to New England.
I think this is another one-score game. I think we fumble it late. I think New England takes it.
Okay, so now that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 5. Home for the Lions.
We sweep the soon-to-be last-place Detroit Lions.
Ooh.
In the NFC North.
Wow, look at you.
Wow.
9-5, home for the Commanders.
I think we beat Washington.
10-5 at the Jets.
An uncomfortably close W at MetLife.
Will you be there? Freezing your butt off?
Hopefully.
Okay. And then at the home for the Bears.
What's it, 10-5?
That's what it looks like going into this game.
Make it a W.
11-5 with a four-game win streak to finish up Ross in New Jersey.
Ross. Hey,
thank you very much, Ross.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. There he goes.
Peace.
11-5 for the Vikings is a very rosy outlook, I would
indeed
have to say. And the Lions in last place, I'll give you a little pushback.
Just a little. Last-place schedule, right?
There's some NFC North from Northern Jersey. That's the only way we can Venn diagram it. Bergen County and the great upper Midwest don't have much in common.
Vikings win total 8.5.
Thank you, sir. All right. We haven't done this in a while. Let's get a news update from Chris Brockman. Hit it.
Go.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, very good.
Nice.
Hey. I always love that NBC News emeritus, Tom Brokaw, is the one who delivers intro. What do you got over there,
Chris? All right, just a few things, guys. MLB All-Star Game tonight in Philadelphia. You know who your starting pitchers are? Do you remember?
I do know.
Christopher Sanchez for the home Philadelphia Phillies gets the bump for the NL, and Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease
is on the mound for the American League.
All right.
Who do you got tonight?
Really? Who do I have tonight?
Well, I mean, yeah, it doesn't count, quote unquote.
Who the hell knows? I have no idea. Who do I have?
Under 8.5 runs. That's all you need to know.
Okay, thank you for that, Chris. I'll take the over.
Really?
Yeah, just a zig, because you think, what, everyone's going to come out and throw 90 million miles an hour, one inning apiece, and nobody can touch the baseball, right? Usually that's what happens.
In the last 20 All-Star games, the under is 14-6.
I think it's great that baseball's gotten back to letting the players wear their actual uniform.
Yes, I like that.
Instead of these All-Star uniforms that they're trying to get me as a dad to dig into my wallet to buy for my kids. That ain't happening. That's my opinion on tonight's All-Star.
Philly's a cool ballpark, too, if you've never been.
Okay, very good.
Does
Sarah feel the same way?
She's not been to Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
She does not care for the Phillies.
I know that.
Or anything that has to do with them.
Did you see Sarah Tiana's post after last night's home run derby? She said that she loved the drama, loved the action, and loved a Philly losing. All right. The Braves fan in that house.
You see how quickly everyone left last night?
Yeah, like
after
point,
the last home run.
The last home run happened in like 5 minutes later. That place
boom,
was empty.
They wanted to go watch more Netflix. What else?
Or
chill.
Pretty fun. All right, so we got Olympics coming up in a couple years here in LA, and baseball is back. Baseball is back. Okay. And so the owners and the Players Association are working on trying to get how they're going to figure out to get MLB players in the Olympics this year, just like hockey has done. You know, NHL players now back in the Olympics for the Winter Games. We saw what happened. USA, Canada, epic. And they're trying to figure out how it's going to go to get Major League players back in the Olympics.
Yeah.
They're going to take
How's it going to go?
Well,
what are we going to do?
It's not going well so far, but they are working on it. Well, they're talking about accommodations. How much time are they going to take off? What type of break in the middle of the season are they going to do? So they're still working that out. But we've got 2 years, and both sides are kind of hopeful they're going to come to a fix so we can see.
What's the fix? Honestly, what's the fix? We're going to play the World Series in November? We're going to start the season in February, March, because you're going to have to figure like you're going to need a. Just take a look at the World Baseball Classic. How long does that take? 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, but they play it in spring training.
I'm just using the sense of a tournament, an actual tournament that involves multiple countries. You know what I'm saying? I mean the Olympics. That you got to train. What are you going to just show up out of nowhere? I mean, I guess you can use the first half of the season to train. I don't know what the fix is.
I mean, guys are.
Let me ask you this question.
In shape.
Let me ask you this question. Let's just say the Red Sox are relevant in 2028.
I mean, we're relevant in 2026. Okay. Sure.
Let's just say that you return to relevance.
Okay. Thank you.
And let's just say the Mets still play baseball in 2028. Okay. You want Roman Anthony off your team for a month? Do I want Aaron Judge gone for a month? You want Juan Soto gone for a month?
What's it matter?
That's true. Honestly.
Well, I think they're deciding whether they're going to take a league-wide pause for the games.
Part. We're going to stop baseball for a month.
It's long enough as it is. That's can afford to lose.
We're really going
to
do that.
The Olympics is only a 2 week of, worldwide event.
I guess what? You could tell the Olympics wrap it up in 10 days.
Let's take a 10-day little box.
Oh, sure.
And then suddenly, with the All-Star break and then
you
boom.
Don't have Roman Anthony for October because something happened against, Paraguay.
We haven't had much of him.
Okay.
So. Yeah, but you're going to take
I'm
that chance.
Out, like, I don't know what the answer is, man.
Do you want to see Major League players in the Olympics?
Of course. Should
baseball even be an Olympic sport?
Baseball, of course baseball should be an Olympic sport.
Hasn't been for quite some time.
I understand that. In the same way, again, that Roger Goodell appeared on Women's Sports Now right around last month. And Susie asked him, by the way, Susie and Sarah, how about our wives? I get to say that now.
Hey.
Our wives interviewing Roger Goodell Women's Sports Now, which is so cool.
Yeah, that was
our better halves. And Susie asked the question of Roger, like, do you expect to see NFL players in flag football?
Yeah.
He said, absolutely. And we saw what happened in the FanDuel event. Fanatics event. Mr. Rubin.
I don't know.
You know, we saw what happened.
It's got smoked.
But why would Roger Goodell not want to have the Olympic stage filled with stars of the National Football League?
Of course.
Why wouldn't the Players Association want it also? Of course.
Oh, the Players Association do not want that.
They should.
But why? Why does it benefit them?
Because it benefits the players to be out there with an Olympic in an Olympic setting. Of course it should.
Then someone pops a knee or an Achilles.
Listen,
and then
obviously we're using the worst possible scenario here. But baseball, why would they want to have, yeah, we should see. We just saw the World Baseball Classic, and we don't see the best stars, right, or the biggest names.
A lot of the big names took it off.
So that would be different for the Olympics, I would think. Yeah, you should want to figure out.
So how are we going to figure out who's playing? Are there going to be a tryout situation?
Great questions.
Are we going to vote?
You said there's 2 years to find out.
2 years
to figure it out. The biggest problem is what do you do with the season? At least with the NFL, it's like, all right, so somebody shows up late for training camp.
A 10-day pause isn't that big of a deal.
Especially not in baseball when it's 13 months long, the season.
I would like to see it. Let's put it that way. What else you got?
I think it'll be cool. Summer League is going on in the NBA, and the action has been great. A lot of the rookies are really balling out.
Really into it this year.
But some of the biggest action, guys, took place off the court. Well, near a court. Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, have you guys heard about this? What happened? So last Friday.
Adebayo put the Bam on Tyler.
Oh, look at you.
Jack Del Rio said they had a dust up.
Well, there was a little dust up in Vegas.
Stop it.
That's just
so, you know, Tyler Hero gets traded to Milwaukee, part of the giant Giannis trade. He says some things on a podcast about maybe he didn't, you know, him and Bam weren't great teammates, or Bam didn't justify his $60 million contract, whatever, whatever. Well, Bam took issue with that. Saw him at one of the practice courts and went over and they took issue, had some words, came to blows.
That's what you call on site, Brockman. That's on
site. That happened. It feels like it happened kind of immediately.
So what now?
And now Tyler Hero, guys, he just wants to move on.
What do you mean?
That's what he says. That was his direct quote.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just trying to move past it all, Hero told ESPN. I'm focused on Milwaukee and building something special. They obviously traded a great player in their history. I want to come in and help continue what they've been doing.
I don't have much in common with Tyler Hero, I would imagine. Okay. I'll just say that.
Okay.
But I will just say this. If anybody ever hits me based on something
after
that
you
I've
talk
said,
smack about them,
I'd want to move on too.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Like, let's move on. You know what I mean? Like, I'm done with that being clocked in the face thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar said
I would just assume that's the way I would feel.
Brock Lesnar said that on Raw to Obafemi last week. Talk bleep, get hit, and then.
Yeah.
He kicked them in the ding-ding.
Moving on. Sort of like, you know what, Brian Gumbel on Real Sports.
Yeah, just like.
Moving on. You know, after Bernard Goldberg threw that right cross. Moving on.
Thanks, Bernie.
Okay, Bernie.
Where's my note?
Yeah, I mean, moving on. What a weird story.
Yeah, that, like I said, Chris, that's like, I see you were fighting. And
we got to sneak crazy. One more in. You got one more.
Oh, yeah, a couple NFL things real quick. This happened while we were gone. The Commanders announced they're retiring number 44, finally, for John Riggins.
Okay, very good.
Going to be honored at the November 8th game against the Rams.
Great move by the Washington football team.
Very long overdue.
Okay.
And the Colts are inducting Adam Vinatieri. Going to go to the Hall of Fame this year. He's going into their Ring of Honor on the 18th of October against Tennessee.
At this point in time, I'll make it about myself. I am going to do the Gold Jacket Dinner in Canton, Ohio.
Nice.
I'll see it once again.
Phenomenal.
Well, that's normal.
A one-year hiatus.
They realized it didn't go as well last year, right?
Sorry?
They realized it didn't go as well last year.
I have no idea how it went last year. All I know is that... I expect to hear a lot of OHs and whatever when I get up to the podium again.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I did see Drew Brees at the American Century Championship along with Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
And
it's a great class.
There'll be two of them going
great
in
class.
And Vinatieri as well.
Yeah, of course.
And also, if people don't know, and I'll give you props, man. You're a master.
Jacket dinner is the greatest.
Of that room,
it's
man.
A great, it's a hidden gem of the weekend. Let's put it that way.
For sure.
And I appreciate you saying that, sir.
Yes. I won't give you props.
I would love to talk about it more and how well I do at that, but we have to take a break. Good thing we got one more segment then. So put a pin in that, TJ. While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup this summer, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because Next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA. Rich Eisen here. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge? Finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent.
With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
It's here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, and that's overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances with one low fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. All right, Mbappe's coming out on the field right now in Dallas. Baby. Okay. By the way, you see those little kids that, you know, how they
it's very they cool. That is like, cool.
I know that's a tradition.
Yeah.
But these kids just were losing their minds that Mbappe was just right there.
They're just like, hey.
Okay, here we go. In the home of the Dallas Cowboys, TJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
You're not as into it as we are, are we? Are you into this World Cup?
I've
not as much?
Watched almost every game that's okay. been on.
Oh, good.
Is
yeah.
talking
yeah,
about
I'm
it or what?
So locked in.
We talk about it all the time.
I chime in.
Okay.
I don't want
to. Who wins, France or Spain?
France.
I think so too.
I don't want to make it seem as though I know more about soccer than I do. So that's why I like, chime in when I can. But I like to listen and learn.
Understood. Well. Everybody watching or listening to us knows. It's certainly on our YouTube feed internationally. We're getting a lot of comments about our World Cup conversation.
Sure.
I see them. They know we don't know what the hell we're talking about. You know, that we're all novices watching this stuff.
Crazy. Yeah,
I even said the other day, I had no idea you could put a spin on a ball with just your instep. Like, what a moron I sound like to some of these people. I understand that.
One pregame stuff, too, with the flags on the field. It's really
it's
awesome.
It's awesome.
It's really awesome.
Three years ago, Rich, you probably don't know this, Susie was in the chair, but I assembled an ultimate what-if team.
Okay.
I made a soccer team based on athletes from other sports to kind of try to help people that really – you know, didn't follow soccer. So, you know, I was putting guys like Tyreek Hill and Austin Matthews and LeBron in different positions on the soccer field to just try to help. I just randomly found that video the other
day. Tyreek Hill, what would he be like?
Fast.
I know that. Yeah. He'd be offsides half the time.
Probably. You know what's crazy? Here's what's crazy. We know Tyreek Hill is fast, right? Erling Haaland is faster.
Erling Haaland.
I can't believe that. Is this a fact?
Yes.
What? How's this?
I'll find it. They said the video, and they had him. He was running 25 miles an hour to chase one down.
He's unreal. That guy's unreal.
Speaking of like the kids, there was a video I saw where, you know, Haaland was dapping up all these kids before the game, and the one kid had his back turned to him, and just like if we're friends, you'll grab your friend. He grabbed this kid's shoulder, turned him around, and this kid was like,
oh yeah.
That dude, I don't know if anyone had more fun in America than Haaland.
You see him get off the plane the other day with a raccoon taxidermy?
I know, yeah.
You know, he went to Dallas, he got a hat and boots.
Cowboy hat, yeah, he's a cowboy hat.
Fantastic. All right, that wraps up our show here on this Tuesday. We'll set you up on Wednesday. Enjoy the World Cup, everybody. We got a great Did You Know on the TV side to wrap it up.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills, but it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. See terms.